Good morning, everyone. I'm wondering if your cheeks are sore or if your throat's a little sore too. I've been waiting all semester to say, how about that game yesterday, right? What a great day for football yesterday. Fun for several teams that this church represents too. Is represented in this church, excuse me. Anyways, I was happy. It was a good day for football. And so I'm glad that you guys are here and maybe a little tired, but yay, thanks for coming to worship. Friends, it is a great day in worship today. We have lots going on. Communion, a baby dedication. You picked a wonderful Sunday to join us at Second B. And if you're joining us online, we welcome you too. Thank you for being a part of our weekend. Y'all, today is the day, the final day, the last day to purchase your Thanksgiving dinner tickets. If you haven't done so, and you plan to join us on Wednesday night, and I sure hope you do. Miss Johnny is out here selling tickets. You can get those after worship, and she will hand them to you. They are already preparing the menu, and I know they're going to start on the turkeys tomorrow, so please be a part of our Thanksgiving dinner this Wednesday night at 5 o'clock. Also, please don't forget, if you haven't voted yet, for the Vision and Leadership Team, two new members coming on. Those cards are available by the office, and you can also do that online through next Sunday. So please do that if you haven't had time yet. And I want to say a huge, huge thank you to those of you who have been donating to our Share the Warmth drive. We took a huge load already on Friday that the bin was overflowing with blankets and coats and so many warm items, and they were thrilled to receive them, and they've already started handing those out, and I know they're going to go fast. We will keep collecting through the month of November, and our friends at St. Benedict's and our friends in our neighborhood are so grateful for your generosity and your donations, so thank you very much. Now, I'm just honored to be part of this worship service with you today. Let's take a moment. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for what's to come in the service today. The Lord be with you.
We continue the joy of this celebration this day with our call to worship from Psalm 16, Would You Stand? I'll read the light face type. Please respond with the bold. Come, bless the Lord, in whom we find our refuge and safety.
You are our God. All the good things come from you alone.
Come, bless the Lord, who gives us a rich inheritance and surrounds us with abundance. Come, bless the Lord, who guides us on the path to eternal life, whose presence strengthens and sustains us.
You are our God. We will not be shaken.
Together we bless the God of our salvation.
Y'all, please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for today. We praise you and we lift your name. We ask that you create in us hearts that burn for you and that are a light into our world. Remind us to follow you closely, God, and to love those around us like you have loved us today and every day. It is in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Hey, good morning. Hi, Rin.
Hey, Max. Come on up.
Hey, Sebastian, I'm glad you got... I love the Mass. We had sparkles in the early service and sparkles in the late service. I am so glad you guys are here. I want to tell you really quickly about something special we are doing today. Did you know that we are having a baby dedication today here in the church in just a few minutes? And I am going to have you guys be front row seats for this baby dedication in just a minute. But I want to tell you why I wanted to bring you forward for this. When we bring a baby to be dedicated into this church, we are saying that we are all committing together to raise this baby along with its parents, Cameron and Allie, right? Madeline is going to be dedicated in just a minute. Yes, Eva. Okay, well, you hang on to that toy during the service, and you hang on to this toy.
I made it.
Well, I'm glad. I want you to hold on to that all through the service. So let me tell you really quickly, this our sweet baby that's coming up, do you know why I brought you guys down? Because you guys are the most important part, in my mind, to this dedication, because she's going to be looking to y'all as she grows, and you are setting the perfect example of what it is to grow in love in Jesus, right, and in this church. And you're going to show her how to get to her Sunday. And you're going to show her how to come down for children's time. And you're going to show her what it means to grow up with God loving on you, right? And you can show Madeline how to do this. And she's going to look to y'all before she looks to us. So what I want you guys to do so that you can have the best view in the whole church is come over here and sit right on the floor in front of Miss Donna. Will you come right over here? Y'all are going to sit crisscross right here on the floor so that you can see. Right up, scoot back just a little because we don't want you to get tripped on. Y'all come and sit right here. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. We're getting close. Okay. All right. We're going to be real careful, Pastor Jake, when we walk around. I would like to invite Cameron and Allie and Madeline Smith to the front, please. We're getting there. We're getting there. All right. Welcome. Today is a very special day. We are so honored to be part of this celebration for all of you. I've known Madeline for a little bit of time now, and I look forward so much to getting to know you even more as you grow. She's the most perfect, beautiful baby girl, and Cameron and Allie have been members of our church for several years, and this is a huge honor to do this, and we are so grateful that you have chosen to dedicate her in our church. She will be getting her first Bible today that you will treasure, and someday she will know what this means, but you guys will help her along with that. It's a beautiful Bible with her name on it and a certificate that, of course, you'll want to frame and have for her dedication. And as she grows, we know that you will teach her about this very special day through pictures and memories and through all of the love that everybody in this church is going to be sharing on Madeline and on you all. So as you join us today in our dedication, I invite the congregation to join in too with us. Cameron and Allie, your primary responsibility is to reflect God's love to this child through your words and actions. As you come to dedicate your daughter to God, what promises do y'all make?
We promise to reflect God's unconditional love for Madeline, nurturing her in the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ.
What do we, the people of Second Baptist Church, believe about all children? We believe that each child is a creation of God and made in God's image. We take delight in each child as God's gift to us. What commitments do we make to the Smith family? We promise to surround them with love, to be their family in Christ, and to help them disciple and nurture Madeline. What is our hope for Madeline? We look forward to the day when she will declare her faith in Jesus Christ, gather with us at the Lord's table, and serve Christ through the church. May she come to know that as a child of God, she belongs to Christ and to us in the family of faith.
Can you come see this scary guy? Oh my goodness. The third most beautiful baby girl I've ever held. Mm-hmm. Baby May, this is your church family. These people are going to pray for you. These people are going to cheer you on when you run through the halls and you make a mess here at church. See these big kids? They're going to help show you God's love. That's pretty cool, huh? You are a blessing. You are a gift from God. You are the most calm baby I've ever held. Church, let us pray together. This is your beloved daughter, O God. Bless her. Keep her. These are all your beloved children. May your promises, may your grace, may your hope flow through all of your children and be with Madeline and her parents and her family this day and forever. To God be the glory. Amen.
The gospel reading today is from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
A gift, a delight it is to join you for worship. Thank you for your time and for your presence. I have become a master in these last few years, although I have for most of my life enjoyed playing a game that I am convinced is written into the very fabric of our souls. The name of this game is unknown to me. It exists in various forms throughout the world and throughout history, but the game is quite simple, you see, is what one does is one stacks things. This is very complicated, very technical, so please be taking copious notes as you always do each and every Sunday. Now, this is the beginning stage of the game, and as I play with Eva's and Lainey's toys and occasionally allow for them to play with me as I play with their toys, the way that this works at our house is I will stack up various sundry like so, and one of the girls will be the self-proclaimed knocker downer. Again, I never had to teach either of our daughters, but it is just pure bliss and pure. Now, there are people in here right now who are thinking, why is he doing this? What is he doing? And there are carpenters and engineers in here who are like, keep stacking. Can I get some blocks too? Yeah. And so one of my strategies, just this is a note from the pros, right? One of my strategies is if you build two towers, one is a decoy, right? And then I can build the type of tower that I like to build, color-coded, structurally sound. Then the decoy tower is available for one of the children to knock down. This is the most fun I've ever had at Second Baptist Church. You're welcome. End of sermon. Good night. Jesus in a leather jacket, I like to think maybe even lighting up a cigarette, walking out of the temple with his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, which seems so natural. And yet this episode interestingly includes Andrew, the brother of Peter, Andrew, a disciple that we might not know as much about. It seems that so much important moments in the Gospels include Peter and James and John, this intimate relationship, and yet Andrew is lumped in here. According to the Gospel of John, the first one to follow after Jesus, it's possible that the text is suggesting to us that this is an intimate teaching of Jesus, and yet also it is a first teaching of Jesus. And Jesus, in a very Johnny Cash-like tone, says, down, down, down in a burning ring of fire. The whole thing is coming down. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Or Jay Creel, maybe you're more hip. Are you down, down, baby? No. Down, down, down. No, anyways, I'm more of an REM man. I think Jesus is quoting REM. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's a difficult teaching. It's a strange teaching, and yet it seems to be so important. Taking place there, that special place of renewal, of prophecy, of prayer there in the Mount of Olives. As often is the case with many of the teachings of Jesus, there's room for interpretation. There are certainly various ways in which we might receive this teaching of Jesus. I think one of them certainly directs us to the cross. The Gospel of Mark, in which we receive this, maybe our first gospel assembled. Gospel of Mark, maybe based upon the teachings of Peter, who spent his last days preaching in Rome. It's possible that in those final days of Peter's life, it's possible that here in Mark 13, Jesus is speaking of the cross. It will all come down. It will all come down, yeah. And Peter, who receives the cross, as many of the other disciples do. It's possible if you, I tend to date Mark a little bit later. It's possible that later dating of Mark, as we read this teaching down, 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 the whole thing is going down. It's possible that the Gospel of Mark is looking back to the fall of the temple in AD 70 there in Jerusalem. If you date Mark earlier, it's fine. It's a looking forward. Jesus is predicting the almost necessary destruction of the temple for religion and state had gotten in bed together seemingly, which is not a healthy relationship really for anyone. There, it's certainly possible as well. Jesus says none of these stones will remain. It's certainly maybe less likely, but it's possible that Jesus is initiating the scientific fact of a half-life. You know what a half-life is? The scientific reality that suggests that all material will only exist for so long, that all energy and all material will ultimately someday fade. And though less likely that Jesus is speaking in this sort of modernistic tone, it does preach true, doesn't it? That there is a temporal aspect to all material, all energy, all reality as we know it. Jesus says all the stones will come down. I think likely Jesus is using this language of the stones coming down. Likely Jesus is using this language referencing the structure totemed there in Jerusalem. Jesus is a spiritual sage, a spiritual teacher. Jesus is proclaiming to his students that structure has tremendous limitation. Structure is incapable to fully reveal the Spirit. It's all coming down. I've been wanting to do that all morning, and it felt as good as it looked. And Jesus said, strange things will happen. Strange things will happen. There will be earthquakes. There will be wars. There will be people placing their trust in humans who do not need their trust to be placed in. Strange things will happen. Field goal kickers will kick 63-yarders to win a game. And we thank God for soccer players everywhere. Yeah, you knew it was coming. Strange thing. And Jesus says it's all coming down. Structure is incapable of fully containing the Spirit. And Jesus, I believe, at the core of his ministry, is not necessarily trying to start a new religion, which is fine. But at the core of his ministry, Jesus is trying to expand consciousness, of faithfulness. Jesus is trying to reveal a God who is bigger, a God who is more real and more present than what the structure at that moment was able to reveal. Yeah. And as our structures come down, as the foundations in our world and in our lives come down, there is the revelation in that space and in that time of Spirit. Spirit is more than these structures, these little things that we've set up in our life. Now, a question that I often receive from very kind and well-meaning people, people in congregation, people in my own family, a question that I receive from time to time is, Jake, are we living in the end times? Have you ever asked? Have you ever thought? I mean, this is kind of a strange a scripture sort of referencing this cataclysmic and even maybe apocalyptic birth pangs and all this structure coming down. Jake, are we living in the end times? And just to be honest with you, I personally have some tension, some struggle with that question. Maybe because for so many years of my life, one of the time-bound questions that was used, I think, in a negative way to spur on a spirituality was, Jake, if you knew tonight was your last, do you know that you know that you know that you know? Yeah, are we living in the end times? This end times is theologically known as eschatology, and there's all sorts of constructs and theories and theological positions trying to interpret so much of this apocalyptic material of Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation in our scriptures. And if you stand on one foot and twist your tongue and speak backwards, you can make the Bible say all sorts of things, can't you? And this morning, I really, and probably neither at any point, will I really address any of those theological constructs regarded to the end of times. But I'd like to offer you a few words that have been helpful to me. N.T. Wright has said, and this is where I feel very comfortable. N.T. Wright has said that it is best to address the teachings of Jesus with an overly realized eschatology. What is that? It's just something you say to people if you don't want the conversation to go any further. An overly realized eschatology. Let me translate that into three words that I think are center for us. Three words. Spirit, here, now. Yeah. Spirit, here, now. As I encounter Jesus, as I read Jesus. Mark begins in Mark 1 says, the kingdom of God has come here, has come near. Repent, metanoia, change your mind. Live anew, for the kingdom of God is more real. Yeah, the scripture just leading up to this maybe more strange and difficult one that we've encountered today is the widow's mite. The widow's mite is a calling to be generous here and now, to not wait for compounded interest. Prior to that, is the central teaching in which Jesus has asked, what is the heart of the faith? And Jesus says, as you well know, it is to love your Lord, your God, with all that you are, and to love and serve your neighbor as you love yourself. I think an overly realized, if you'd allow for me, I'd just like to add two words to that teaching of Jesus. It seems to me, as I read Jesus, as I have encountered Jesus, it seems to me, Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God with all that you have now, and love and serve your neighbor here. This is an overly realized eschatology that here, and now it seems to me that Jesus is most interested, not in some, Jesus is most interested in how we live now and here. A teacher of mine used to say, I see no evidence that we're living in the end times. However, it does seem, as I encounter Jesus in the scriptures, it does seem that there is good reason to live like we're in the end times. And I think there's wisdom there for us. There seems to be no necessary evidence that we live in a cataclysmic, like apocalyptic time. However, it does, as we encounter Jesus, it does seem that Jesus is interested in us living in such a way that it could be true. And that is all depending on how you even interpret the concept of end times, right? I mean, you might be experiencing an end, a falling in your life. And so often is the case, and Scripture addresses this topic, often is the case that Scripture uses birth language, that we will be stretched when the structures come down. We will be stretched when things end in order to experience new life. And if that's the case, yeah, maybe we are in an end times and an end times again and an end times again as the structure comes down and the Spirit of God stretches us and expands our concept for life. And although I don't think we are in a cataclysmic, apocalyptic-like time, there is no reason to panic. But as I encounter the teachings of Jesus, as I encounter Jesus in my own life, it seems that Jesus is not interested in any regard of panic. But Jesus is interested in a sense of urgency. Time and again, Jesus says, be ready. Yeah, be ready. There's an urgency to our faith. Yeah. The second line of that REM song that I butchered earlier, remember the song, it's the end of the world as we know it. You know the subtitle? You know the second line? And I feel fine. Isn't that great? And I feel fine. Malcolm Gladwell has taken a story by Einstein and sort of created this parable with it. And I want to share it with you. And it's a parable, okay? But I think it's a fabulous story. Einstein says, or not dissimilar, really, like the awful movie Armageddon. Have you seen it? Speaking of eternity, Steven Tyler. Wow, that's interesting. Einstein describes an event in which an astronomical, cataclysmic-like end to the planet has been predicted and is sure and true and comprehensive. And at this global announcement of the end of the world, of the end of reality, the imminence of the end, at this global announcement, Einstein describes a very different scene than that awful movie, Armageddon. Einstein says, at the announcement of the end of the world, people will rush to restaurants, to cafes, to museums, and to city parks. At the announcement of the end of the world, couples will hold hands, neighbors will have conversations, and Einstein says, children will play in trees. Because after all the math, after all the science, after all the structure is knocked down, it is then that we are able to see one another here and now. And today, we don't have to wait a billion years for the stones to fade to know what will remain when everything comes down, when all the structures, when all the foundation, when all the things in reality come down. Grace, hope, peace, love, Christ will remain. And there's no reason to panic, but there's no reason to wait any longer. Let's pray together. Lord, we seek your Spirit here and now, today. May the walls come down. And may we hold to hope and faith in you that you are always providing a greater experience of grace. You are always providing a new way to mercy. You are always, always revealing your love, revealing your goodness far beyond whatever we can build up. May this give glory and honor to your name, the name that is above and before all names, the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, by which we pray and worship together. Amen. Friends, if we can be of help to you now or at your convenience, we'd be honored to do so. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship together.
join me in prayer this morning. Here we gather in love, Lord, to worship and praise you, to offer blessings to one another, to enact our remembrance of the risen Christ, and to hear your teachings for our lives. We pray your blessings on our efforts, Lord, and we pray that you will expand our efforts always. In Christ our Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
remain standing and join me in prayer as we were taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can be seated. In just a moment, we'll invite everyone who desires to come forward and to receive communion and the Lord's table, the Eucharist, at the front. And on your way or before you come, if you'd remove your mask, that might make things just a little bit easier. We invite you to come and receive in your weakness and receive strength. We invite you to come in wonder and receive worship. Christ, the Lord, invites all to come to receive in our ignorance and receive wisdom. We are invited to come and to receive in all of our despair and receive the joy, the salvation, the hope of Christ. On the night celebrating a Passover meal with his disciples, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He shared it. He gave thanks to God for it. And he said, "Receive this, my body, for you and for the sake of the world." And likewise, he took the cup, he gave thanks to God, and he shared it with his students, his friends, and he said, "This is the cup of a new promise, a new reality, a new covenant, a new life. Receive the cup of Christ." Thanks be to God.
stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Spirit of God, beyond all stone, structure, and steeple, be with you and bless you. Amen.